So here we are, day 364 of Hashtag 365.
In a world where we're constantly told to consume, regaining control can feel like a daily battle. Count every calorie. Eat slowly, only when you're actually hungry. Understand your inner chimp. Keep your journey front of mind. And together, we'll develop a better relationship with food. This is Hashtag 365.
It's mad, like every day feels like a landmark. It's a strange feeling. So yeah, day 364, the penultimate day of this entire year-long journey. Now, as you may remember, when I started this podcast almost exactly a year ago, I talked a lot about how it's not just for people that want to lose weight. Hopefully there's little tidbits of inspiration along the way, no matter what your mental and psychological health condition is, you know? And I think it's fair to say there's been many twists and turns along the road, and I've been, where possible, quite careful to ensure that any kind of core realizations or fundamental things that lie at the centre of my journey have been noted and explored properly. I've not skipped over things that are really important. Because really, those realisations are the things that encapsulate the main learnings about myself and the world throughout this journey, if that makes any sense at all. So today, on this penultimate day, I thought it'd be good to look back at what I've learned as an almost kind of cheat sheet or a snapshot of the entire journey. So if you want to, rather than listening to the whole thing again, you can just listen to this episode. Just sack the rest of it off. No, it's not strictly true. So let's go through them. Realizations. Number one. And if you've listened to the whole journey, none of these will be new. But yeah, like just a recap, really. Number one, realizations. Calorie creep wants to ruin your day. The whole idea that most overweight people don't actually realise how many calories they're eating. What seems like a meal like everybody else's so often isn't. And I talked about in early stages of this podcast, talked about that example of like me looking at what I'm eating for lunch and looking at what my friend's eating for lunch and think we're eating the same. We're both eating a sandwich. We've both got some fruit. We've both got a chocolate bar. We've both got some crisps. But when you actually analyse the contents of what we're eating, I was eating more than double the calories of that other person. And this still happens every day. You know, when you go out for a meal, you think, oh, well, that we're all out for a meal together. Why is it they're thin and I'm fat? It's not fair. Actually, look at what's on your plate. Like, back in the day, I'd have a full rack of ribs with a side of mac and cheese, fries, coleslaw, whatever it was, you know, if I was in like an American restaurant. Someone else might have, the person with me might have like a Caesar salad. And people say, oh, you know, there's so much sugar in the dressing. Believe me, even if that's true, having a salad is nowhere near as bad as having chips, meat, you know, coleslaw, fat upon mayonnaise, upon fat upon all sorts of stuff. So actually just like understanding that calorie creep, it will mess you up unless you're aware of it. That's why it's so important to be really honest about what you're eating and put everything in a food diary when you're on that kind of journey. So that was that first realization. The second realization was that food is not my friend. You know, food's there to nourish your body, provide you with the vital nutrients, the energy you need to operate in the world. Food isn't there to comfort you. It isn't there to hug you and make you feel better. People tell you that's what it's there for. Advertisers tell you that's what it's there for. But the people that say that, they usually are people that are trying to sell you something. If you have an unhealthy relationship with food, food is not your friend. You have to understand this. If you have an unhealthy relationship with food, food is not your friend. You're in a toxic relationship and it will mess you up unless you're aware of that. That was a second realization. Three, being hungry is actually okay. So our chimp, slash years of evolutionary history, our chimp makes us believe that at any opportunity we have to eat. Because our chimp thinks we're still in the jungle trying to survive in a world where food's hard to come by. And as we know, for many of us, that's not today's reality. That's not how the world is. But the upshot of the above is that we think that whenever we get the slightest rumble of hunger, or often even if we just think about being hungry, we think that we've got to eat immediately or we're going to die. That's what our chimp thinks, which is obviously just false. And Paul McKenna talks about the hunger scale on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not hungry at all and 10 being you need to eat immediately or there's a very real chance you'll die. In the West, most people never get hungrier than about 6 before they eat, you know, in a normal setup. Most of us don't really know what actual hunger feels like at all. And that's quite illuminating to realise that. Summarise that by saying, basically, in short, being hungry sometimes, it's actually okay. Just relax. Fourth realisation was that I eat so fast. And that's kind of a top-line catch-all statement. But what I mean is, back before this journey, there was absolutely nothing at all mindful about my eating. Often, in fact, I'd eat without even realising that I was eating at all. And have you ever been to a party, and before you know what's going on, you've had like a handful of sausage rolls, loads of crisps, about 8 sandwiches and a mini quiche, despite the fact you weren't even remotely hungry and you don't actually remember tasting or eating any of it? That was me, basically all the time. So I catch that under the realisation that I eat so fast, but really it was more just, I eat without thinking about it. And then number 5, this was a point stolen from Paul McKenna, cheers Paul, and relates to the realisation that I mentioned before, number 3, that being hungry is okay. So number 5, eat when you're actually hungry. So there are countless reasons why someone eats. Countless reasons why I ate. And if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, it's surprising when you stop and analyse it how often actual hunger isn't one of those reasons. Now, I used to eat for all manner of reasons, whether it was comfort, procrastination, distraction, entertainment, out of habit, because it was time for a meal. You know what I mean? How we're told we have to have 3 meals a day, so it's time for a meal, so you eat. It was rare that I ever ate primarily because I was feeling the physical signs of being hungry. And Paul McKenna's theory is simple. Eat, and actually eat whatever you want, he says, but only eat when your body is telling you that you're actually hungry. That's the deal. Like I say, related to the point about being hungry, actually being okay. Realisation 6, the importance of routine. And this is one of those realisations that can really apply to anything in your life, and not just about making better defaults when it comes to food, but it's important to understand that we as humans crave routine. This is the thing that I've realised. We like it. It regulates us. It gives us a sense of purpose in an otherwise utterly chaotic world. And when you're trying to develop better defaults via better habits, routine, of course, plays a crucial role in that. And you need to be mindful of that. If you want to set a new default, you have to allow yourself a stretch of time where you can build those behaviours into a routine. And that's a point that's also related to point 10, which we'll come to shortly, about the interplay between focus and defaults. What I've learned, number 7, realisation number 7, the magic power of water. Now, I know that seems so arbitrary, so stupid, but it's one of the big things that I've realised, one of the habits of healthy people. Healthy people drink water all the time. It's their primary baseline fluid. And for me, it wasn't. I used to drink juice, squash, fizzy drinks, you name it, I'd drink it. Water was down the list. Now water is at the top of the list. It makes up the majority of your body. It keeps things supple, keeps inflammation down, keeps you hydrated, obviously. And there's no calories in it at all. Nothing bad in it at all. Only good things. It's magic, and it should be at the top of your list of things that you take into your body each day. The magic power of water. One of the realizations I had quite a long way into the 365-day journey was the fact that healthy people can enjoy food with no guilt, which is kind of a bit of a head masher. And if you are a healthy person, it probably doesn't make any sense to you, but let me explain. It's a crazy thing to realise. Whenever I eat something naughty, I don't actually completely enjoy it because the experience is laced with guilt and worry and annoyance at myself because I know that I'm overweight and I shouldn't have eaten it. But I realize that when you're healthy, when you're at your goal weight, when you're where you should be, you can actually just enjoy an indulgence for what it is. Just enjoy it in the moment without all that guilt. And that must be such a wonderful feeling. I'm not there yet, but I'm looking forward to getting there one day. Realization 9, this was an absolute core realization. The difference between treating and indulging yourself. Now, this was something that hit me, you may remember, it hit me hard and square between the eyes. Eating bad food is not a treat. It's an indulgence. We label it as a treat, but it is not. It's an indulgence. And that is, understanding that is so crucial. A treat is something that is good for you, something that benefits you. An indulgence is something that doesn't really benefit you outside of the initial hit that it gives you, but you pay for it in other ways. With the good comes the bad. With the hit of the sugar and the fat comes the fat around the waist. And on it goes. You know, recognizing that eating naughty food is not a positive, fun treat and is actually an indulgence. Indulgence shows me that my relationship with food has fundamentally shifted. Like, understanding that now, I see it now. Bad food is not a treat. Bad food is bad food. And yes, it may taste amazing and it may make you feel good, but it's still bad. It's not a treat. You're not treating yourself. You know? Realization 10, another big one. Understanding focus and your defaults. You know, this idea, the understanding that you cannot achieve what you want unless you focus on it. But also understanding that in life, you're always going to get thrown curveballs that distract you from your focus. So that's why it's so important to ensure that your defaults are set in the right direction, that your habits and your defaults are set as such that they help steer you in the right direction even when your focus is elsewhere. Such an important thing, that, and a kind of a lesson in resilience generally, I think. You cannot focus, the very definition of focus, you cannot focus on two things at once. So if there's something you want to achieve, make sure everything is set up towards achieving that goal. So when your focus is distracted, automatically you're still heading towards it. Does that make sense? And finally, number 11, a bonus 11th realization. And something that I've alluded to over the journey, but just crystallized now. This is something I've known from the start, but there's an element of it that I've only really come to fully realize over this year. I am a food addict. And you know what? I probably always will be. That's the realization. This journey has been such a lot of things over the past 364 days. It's been eye-opening, it's been illuminating, it's been seriously challenging, and it's also been immensely successful. I'm over 3 stone lighter. I've lost weight in a steady, healthy way. I feel more confident, I feel more resilient, I feel happier than I ever felt. More respectful of my body, more thankful for it, and I just feel more gratitude generally. And this 365-day journey has armed me with so much knowledge about the world and so much knowledge about myself. It's empowered me to take control of my body, and I've fundamentally changed my relationship with food. But what it has not done is cure me of my food addiction. You know what? Maybe that will come in time. Maybe if I commit to the principles that I've learned, maybe if I put everything into practice day in, day out for the foreseeable future, maybe one day that switch will flick on that massive addiction default. You know, maybe one day I'll be at a buffet breakfast in a hotel somewhere and I won't have to control the urge to just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, because that urge simply won't be there. Maybe the addiction will pass. Maybe. There's lots of maybes. But what I do know with absolute certainty is that although this year has been life-changing for me, if I just simply forget every single thing that I've learned over the course of this year, if I just stop putting it all into practice, if I stop being mindful of it all every single day, believe me when I say, within a year, I'll be back to the weight that I started at. And that, my friend, is possibly the most powerful realization of all.